Thank you, Brother Taz. Now our Vesper service, and Brother Robert has spent a lot of time and thought and study to prepare this for us, and I'm sure we're going to enjoy it. And Bethels, Peniels, and Ebenezers, we're looking forward to it. Lord bless you.
At the end of each section, I'll need a when the choir.
You want me to sit here?
No, you don't need to sit there unless you're more comfortable that way.
I'll be right here.
Okay.
Good evening, brethren. We have tonight, we've got a little presentation, a Vesper service on Bethels, Peniels, and Ebenezers. Ebenezers, you'll have to forgive my pronunciation because there's quite a few words here that are going to get mangled. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to consider each of these three items, and they can all be described in three ways. They can be described as an original event, they can be described as a physical place, and they can describe a spiritual application. And we want to look at all of those. But what we're going to do is use the original event and the physical place to find the lesson of the spiritual application. So we're going to take a walk through the land of Israel, and we're going to follow the lives of a number of individuals. A lot of what we'll do tonight is very compressed, very fast in order to cover it. We're just going to hit the high points of the history of Israel. So we trust that you're either up on it or will research it when you get a chance. Okay, we'll start with Bethels. At this moment, we'd like to have Sister Gail Grabner come up. Or I'm sorry, we're going to have a roving mic, aren't we? Okay. Sister Gail Grabner is going to read for us from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 8.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Gail. We're going to go now to a map of the Fertile Crescent, and you might recognize it from TV in recent days. We have, some recognizable names, but what we want to notice is this was where Abraham was. This is where Bethel is. It's about a 400-mile journey, but as we read just a moment ago, when Terah, Abraham's father, died, Abraham crossed the river Euphrates and made that journey into the land. And when he got to Bethel, the Lord showed him that that was the land that he would give him. And he made that promise in Genesis 12, that he would bless him and that through his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. Now, the place where that was made was at Bethel. That was where the Abrahamic covenant was made. And what we're going to find out here was that this is actually a far more important place than I ever realized. all the events that we're going to look at tonight really happen within about a 30-mile radius of Bethel, but they happen over about 900 years. So, we'll go on to our next one. Now, this is a picture of a town called Elberoth, and I'm sorry that by blowing it up so much, we've lost some resolution. This is Elberoth, the supposed site of Bethel. Okay, now, here's our second volume chronology. We're all familiar with this. From the flood to from Adam, the creation of Adam to the flood, 1656, to the covenant of Abraham, 427 years, or a total of 2083. And that gives us the year 2045 BC. Okay, so you might recognize this chart. Now, the interesting thing about this date is that it's right here, 2045 BC. And you might remember from looking at the Edgar's charts that that's exactly halfway between the fall of Adam and the end of the 70 weeks of Daniel. So not only is the physical place important to us, but the time is important to us. Here again we have another little closer map of the land of Israel. Some of the major sites that are associated with the life of Abraham. We have Bethel, where he first came into the land. Then after that, he went south, went into Egypt for a period of time, came back, lived in Beersheba for some time. Jerusalem was not a town at that time; it was a mount, and that was the place where he was sent with Isaac to perform the sacrifice of Isaac. Hebron was where Sarah died. We're going to find out that it's like a cycle. They keep coming back up. Okay. One of the things, this is a little bit out of sequence. This is later on, Elijah and Elisha. When Elisha was going to be taken, and they were given the four stopping points, and we can study this, but the four points were Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. And they corresponded to certain dates. 1874, 1878, 1881, 1914. So Bethel is 1878. Now, the question is what does 1878 represent, or what happened in 1878? Well, that was the time that Israel went back to the land. You know, so not only do we have the covenant originally being given at Bethel, but Bethel becomes a symbol of the time that they would go back to the land. And another picture of Elberoth. Okay, so we've talked about this already this weekend, but the name Bethel does mean house of God. It comes from two words, Beth and El. Beth meaning house, and El meaning the strong one, or most appropriately, Almighty God. Okay, so now let's go to our spiritual application. Let's start with asking the question of why Abraham built the altar. Well, he built the altar there because... Well, the answer is in Genesis 12:8, to call upon the name of the God, to call upon the name of the Lord. Bethel marked the spot where God made the covenant with Abraham, and Abraham throughout his life returned many times to that spot. There was other incidents that we're not going to talk about that happened at Bethel. Abraham located at Bethel, where he had erected an altar to the Lord, indicating his continued reverence and his determination to accept the Lord's terms in all of his affairs. Reprint 39:38. So Bethel to us is a place of worship. It is whether we think of it as a structure or not, it is the place where we meet with God, where our prayers are offered. And now we would like to have Brother Dave Bartley come up and read for us from reprint 24:87. I'm sorry, we have the roving mic.
For in proportion as each becomes earnestly desirous of rendering service to the Lord and of keeping his heart in the love of God. He will find it desirable, yea, necessary, to seek supplies at the throne of grace and the family altar daily, as well as to lift up his heart frequently, in private, to the Lord, in thankfulness or in prayer, for help in time of need, and likewise at the close of every day. Those who have seen desirous of pleasing and serving the Lord will desire to render their report at the close of the day, and to inspect themselves and the efforts which they have made, that thus they may stimulate themselves in the heavenly race and renew their vows of consecration.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Dave. Now, in connection with this thought of Bethels, we have a number of things that we as Bible students are familiar with. Brother Russell called the location of his headquarters Bethel House. You know, even when he moved, the new one was Bethel House. Okay. I wanted to show you on the next slide a picture of Bethel House, but I couldn't find one, so I settled for this, which, in a sense, is a house of worship. You know, and in 1909, at the Bethel House, they established a tradition of every month they would publish a list of hymns, one per day. And it was, you know, similar to our manna. On May 24th of 1913, which is exactly 90 years ago today, this hymn, He Leadeth Me, was the hymn of the day. And I thought it was actually kind of appropriate, because if you think about it, the travels of Abraham throughout the land, God did lead him. And so we'd like to have our group come up and perform for us hymn 87, please. We're going to move on now to Peniel, or Penuel, depending on which verse you're looking in. It's very interesting because it's the same exact word, Hebrew word, but the translators have chosen to translate it Peniel one time and Penuel eight times. Don't ask me why. In order to understand Peniel, we're going to take a short history of Jacob, Abraham's grandson. We remember the incident where Esau sold Jacob his birthright. And then later, Jacob and Rebekah deceived Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing. Of course, that didn't make Esau very happy, and Jacob had to flee. So they made the excuse of sending Jacob to Laban, who was Abraham's... Wasn't his brother? I've lost it. Who was Laban? He was Abraham's... Laban. He was really his nephew, wasn't it? Okay, see, my memory's shot. Jacob went to Haran to find a wife. Now, when he was traveling, remember that they were living in Beersheba. And when he traveled, he went up what's called the King's Highway, which basically runs like this. He gets to this place called Bethel, and he has a dream. And in this dream, there's this ladder that runs from earth to heaven, and the angels are going back and forth, and from the top of it, God reiterates the promise to Jacob. And Jacob wakes up the next morning, makes a vow unto God, and then goes on his way to Haran. This is a montage of Abraham's well at Beersheba. Now, when Jacob gets to Haran, he works for 7 years, thinking he's going to marry Rachel, and instead he gets Leah. And then he works another 7 years for Rachel, and another 7 years to get the flocks. We remember that story. Then God calls to Jacob and tells him to return to the land. This is Genesis 31:13. And we remember the story that Jacob waited until Laban was out of town, and then he left. Okay. At this time, we would like to have Sister Bonnie Bennett read for us the Genesis account in chapter 32, verses 1 through 3, and also 22 through 32.
And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank.
Thank you, Sister Bonnie. So here we have Jacob and Laban meet in Galilee. They have the incident where Rachel is sitting on the idols and, you know, they do not find them. They part company. Jacob goes further south to Mahanaim, and there, as it was said in there, he meets some messengers. Now, this is very kind of cryptic. It doesn't really... He meets some angels from gods, but it doesn't elaborate. He does send messengers to Esau, who is living somewhere in this general vicinity. And then he goes on his way to Peniel, which is right here, where he meets with the angel, wrestles all night long, and the story is, you know, he has the name changed to Israel, and he calls the place Peniel. We have a picture here of Mahanaim and the Jabbok River. Now, the other side of the river is Peniel, or Penuel. There's another view of it. This is actually from Mahanaim. And down here is apparently some forts that where he would have crossed. Now let's take a look at the chronology of this. From the time that Abraham entered the land, which we said was 2045 BC, to the time that Jacob fled Esau, was approximately 146 years. We can't know exactly. Apparently it was shortly after Jacob and Esau turned 40. So there could be a 10-year window there, but that's the approximate time. He was working for Laban for 21 years, and then he returned. So it makes it about 125 years between the promise and the reiteration of the promise to Jacob, and 146 years from Bethel to Peniel. Now, what's interesting here is that we've always thought that, you know, after Isaac gave Jacob the blessing, he's not really mentioned much anymore, and you'd think he's passed from the scene. Well, Isaac at that time was 100 years old, and he lived to be 180. So he actually lived, it's about 49 years after Israel, Jacob, came back into the land. And in fact, there's a scripture that talks about Jacob and Esau buried Isaac at Hebron. Okay. Now Jacob, after the encounter with the angels at Peniel, meets Esau, settles his accounts with Esau. Esau invites him to go live with him down in Edom, but he chooses not to, and he goes over to the town of Succoth, where he stays for a short period of time and then moves to Shechem. And there we have the unfortunate incident with Dinah and Levi and who was it? Simeon, where they killed the inhabitants of the city. So now Jacob, he's in hot water, and he needs to flee Shechem. So he heads south, and he gets to Bethel again. And once again, God reiterates the promise to him. Now this is the first time that the promise was given to him was in the dream at Bethel when he was fleeing to Haran. This time, it's not in a dream. God makes the promise, the Abrahamic promise, he gives it to Jacob at Bethel there. Jacob keeps heading south, and he gets to this place called Bethlehem, and Rachel goes into labor and dies. And she's buried there at Bethlehem. Now, that's kind of interesting to us because, you know, earlier we talked about Bethel meaning Beth-El, house of God. So you have Bethlehem, What does that mean? Well, we just had our memorial service, so it shouldn't surprise us that Bethlehem means house of bread. This is the field of Boaz in Bethlehem, or with Bethlehem in the background, of a watchtower near Bethlehem. This I threw in just because the first time I saw it, I thought it was the sarcophagus in the king's chamber, you know. But it's a stone manger, apparently the same type that they placed Jesus in. Okay, now the definition of Peniel. Literally, it means either facing God or the face of God, or I have faced God, something along this line. It means to turn, to face, to appear, and then again, same word, El. Peniel was the place where Jacob faced God. He saw the face of God. He wrestled with the angel there, and he gained that blessing. It was a reminder to him of where a supplication was answered. Remember that earnest prayer that he gave just before wrestling with the angel, he had received all this bountiful blessings from the Lord and he didn't deserve it? This was in answer to that prayer. And at this time we would like to have Sister Pam Davis read for us reprint 5481.
Jacob had a method of marking the special manifestations of divine providence, as when he called the place in which he wrestled with the angel Peniel, the face of God. This was a reminder to him that there he had been privileged to receive from the Lord a particular blessing, a marked answer to prayer. Similarly, it is profitable to spiritual Israel that we should make note in some special manner of the Lord's mercies and providences to us. Many feel poor as respects the favor and blessing of the Lord simply because they have failed to let these blessings make a proper impression upon their hearts at the time they were received. We are all leaky vessels, and unless special notation of these favors of the Lord are made upon the tablets of memory or in some other way, their lesson and the encouragement and strength which they bring are largely lost to us. Doubtless we should all have more Bethels and more Peniels did we but follow the course of setting up some kind of monuments of our Father's faithfulness in His answers to our prayers, and there entering into some covenant or vow with the Lord in return for these His mercies. As each watches for fresh evidence daily of the love and special watch care of our God over us, we shall find that we have far more cause for encouragement and thanksgiving than we would be aware of without such notation and watchfulness. Let each of us then, daily, weekly, and yearly, raise to our God our Ebenezers, if we would increase our faith and joy and love.
Thank you, Sister Pam. We would like to have our group come back up and sing for us hymn number 183. Thank you. Thank you once again. Our next and final section is Ebenezer's. Let's start with the chronology of it. Now, we can't know exactly when this occurred, but we can place it fairly close because it happened with Samuel shortly before Saul was anointed as king. So we can look at our chronology and we can say that it was shortly before that period of kings, which is about 925 years after that original covenant with Abraham. We would like now to have Sister Carol Long read for us from 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 4.
Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Carol. Again with our map. Now, we have to understand that there's actually two places of Ebenezer. There was an encampment where the Israelites camped right here, and the Philistines were camped at Aphek. When the battle went against Israel, they sent for the ark, and Eli's two sons brought it into the battle, and this was very presumptuous on their part, and the battle went worse for them. There was actually a greater number slain. Eli learns of this news both Phinehas and Hophni were slain in the battle. The news is brought to Eli. He falls over backwards, breaks his neck, dies, and Samuel becomes judge over the nation of Israel. The Philistines, they captured the ark, and they take the ark to Ashdod, which is here. Okay, they begin to have problems, you know. So the people at Ashdod figure that they're going to send the ark over to Gath down here. The people of Gath, well, they had problems, so they send it to Ekron. Okay. And the people at Ekron, well, they had problems, so they gathered the council of the Philistine leaders together, and they tried to decide what to do with it. And they finally figured out that they were going to put it on a new cart with two milk cows and send it back to Israel. The time that they had the ark was about 7 months. Now, they put the ark on the cart, and they said, if these cows take it to Beth Shemesh, which is here, then that's a sign that the Lord, you know, was responsible for this. If they don't go to Beth Shemesh, then, you know, it was just bad luck. Well, the cows just took off for Beth Shemesh. And it wound up in the field of Joshua, the Beth Shemite. And Israel rejoiced, but they got a little carried away, and they looked into the ark. And the Lord was very wroth and slew quite a few of them. So they decided that they would ask the people at, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, Kiriath-Jearim, to come and take the ark, which they did, and it wound up in the house of Abinadab, and it stayed there for 20 years. Now, this was still the period of time when there was a lot of idolatry going on in Israel, and Samuel created a reformation movement, a revival movement, if you would, gathered all the Israelites to Mizpah, here. They threw away their idols, they were going to return to the Lord, but the Philistines got wind of this, so they sent an army to Mizpah. And the Israelites were afraid, but Samuel prayed to the Lord, and what they received was a large lightning and thunderstorm, which caused, it caused the Philistines to turn and run, and then Israel won the battle. So then Samuel created a monument of stones that's called Ebenezer. And let's go to some pictures here. This is Aphek, or Tel Aphek. Another picture, this is taken from Tel Aphek. This is a picture of Mizpah, and the stone wall there was apparently built by King Asa. Okay. So now, the definition of Ebenezer. Well, Samuel called it Ebenezer in 1 Samuel 7:12. It says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And so that's the name of, or the definition of Ebenezer, the stone of the help. Okay. We'd like now to have Brother Alan Ross read for us from reprint 56:27.
While yet the offering was upon the altar, the noise of the approaching host of the Philistines was heard. How would God assist his people? How could they hope for deliverance against the Philistine hosts? Would they in fear scatter, or would God's power to help be manifest? The deliverance came in the shape of a great, violent, sudden storm. Going hastily, it swept down the hill Mizpah in the faces of the approaching hosts. They turned their backs against the violent storm, and the Israelites, perceiving the opportunity, rushed onward with the storm, pursuing the Philistines and driving them before them, and thus gaining a great victory. So with Christians in their victories under the Lord's assistance. When by the Lord's grace they gain victories, they should set up memorials or monuments in their minds, in their hearts, and not pass these blessings by or forget that the victories were gained by help from on high. Every Christian, therefore, should have his Ebenezers, his monuments of victory, as it were, of divine assistance over his foes, the world, the flesh, and the adversary. And he should rejoice in these. This sentiment has come down to us in the words of a beautiful hymn. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home.
You know, there's one point that I forgot to mention. Do you know where this pile of stones called Ebenezer's was? It's at a place called Bethel. It's a monument of victory. So we'd like to close now with hymn number 39, because this seems to be the overriding theme of all of our Bethels, Peniels, and Ebenezers.
Thank you, Brother Robert. We really appreciate those three words and how they really do bring us comfort, because we see the face of God, and God is our help. We're going to have Brother Robert read the songs in the night for May 24th, and then ask him to close with prayer.